God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the 28th day of August, 2011, and the final day of our 2011 Missions Conference. Preaching this morning is Brother Rocky Harrell, pastor of the Tulsa Baptist Temple in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The title of Brother Rocky's sermon is, Are You Making Any Friends? Before Brother Harrell preaches, we will hear special music from our music director, Jose Palencia. We know you'll enjoy the teaching and the music. Thanks for listening.
There are things as we travel this earth's shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. 'Cause I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and
Thank you for that message in that song, and I am thankful for the old rugged cross, because if it was not for that, I'd be on my way to hell. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity and the privilege to preach at the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City. I count a great honor. I count your pastor a dear friend of mine, a great preacher of the Word of God. And I know at our church, this is our favorite week of all week. We have revival. We do a lot of other crazy things. But this is the number one thing we do at Tulsa Baptist Temple is our mission conference, because our people, that's basically why we exist, I guess, is to get the missionaries to the field. And so it's always exciting when a church takes up their faith promise commitment cards, and I'm thankful for what God's going to do, and I just want to try to be an encouragement. You've heard missionaries last week, I believe, and I don't want to irritate you. I don't want to do that. I want to encourage you. And I want to challenge you from the Word of God about getting involved in missions. If you would take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter number 16, if you would, please. Luke chapter number 16. And if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of God's Word? And if you're not, please remain seated. Luke chapter 16. And I want to preach I'm going to read verses 1 down through verse number 9. In my own personal mind, I preached this several years ago. I usually have somebody come in and preach, but I really believe that I heard from the Lord one year that I was supposed to preach to our people on this Sunday. And I preached this particular passage because I can't think of a better passage to preach on a faith promise offering than this particular passage this morning and the truth that is involved in it. Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. "And he," that would be Jesus Christ, "said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. Now notice that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That'd be 80. And the Lord, now notice this, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Now notice this statement. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That'd be the saved people. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to come and assemble here in this particular place today. We are thankful for salvation which we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask you to bless these next few moments as we consider this very important passage in the Word of God. And Lord, I would ask first of all, if there would be someone here today that has never been saved, that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction and show them their need of the Savior today. And then Lord, I would ask for the people here in this room that are members of the Central Baptist Church, for those that are saved, God, would you encourage them and challenge them in this area of faith promise missions to be involved and maybe even to increase. God, whatever you speak and whatever you say, I pray that you would work and move in their hearts. Lord, we need you. We can't do this in our own strength, our own energy. Nothing will happen of eternal significance. So I pray and ask the Spirit of God would meet with us now. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. This is the day that the Central Baptist Church is going to be receiving its faith promise offering. And I want to preach from Luke chapter 16 this morning, and I want to ask you this question. If I have a title, this is the title. And it's a question. Are you making any friends? Well, somebody said, Pastor, I've got lots of friends. Well, I'm talking about in connection with what this passage is teaching this morning. Because when I get to heaven, I'd sure like to see some friends that I've never met. Well, how did you meet them? Because of my support for missionaries, they went and preached the gospel and people got saved and they were baptized. The New Testament church was established and they will be in heaven and I'll get to meet them because of my part in giving to missions. Now that's what this passage is about. So I want to take it apart and I want us to think about this morning. If you read most people, they would say, well, this is the parable of the unjust steward. And this particular parable was not given to the same people as the last one, the parable, what we call the two sons, the prodigal son. That was given to the Pharisees. This particular scripture was given, according to verse number 1, it was given to his disciples on this particular occasion. Now, no doubt there were other people there, but primarily Jesus was speaking to the men that were following him. You probably already picked up on this, and maybe the pastor's preached on this in the past, but there is a difficulty with this particular parable, and that is this. It appears It appears that there's an evil example that is taking place here, and it appears that maybe Jesus is commending this evil example. Well, let me say this. Number one, there is an evil example. This guy's dishonest. He is stealing from his master. Say amen. This is wrong. Number two, Jesus is not commending what the man did wrong. He's commending what he was thinking about. What is that? Making friends. Because when he's put out of his stewardship, he's going to need some friends. He's going to need a place to live. So don't let this mess up your thinking this morning that Jesus here, he's using this man to show that you need to take advantage of people. Now, if you weren't with us in Sunday school, I've already dealt with that. He is not using this as an example to show that he puts his stamp of approval on taking advantage of people. That's not what he's talking about. But he is dealing with a principle here. And this man was using forethought about the future. Everyone in this room, one of these days, we're going to have a meeting, if you can say it this way, face to face with our Savior and Lord. And we are going to give account of our stewardship. So we're going to learn some things from this particular passage this morning that I trust will be of help, a challenge, and encouragement to us in this time today. Now, in these 9 verses here, there are 4 issues that I want to try to deal with. I want to try to explain. I want to try to make application because I want us to get something out of this today. And as always, there is something to get out of the Bible preaching. So we're going to work at this here. I want you to notice in verse number 1 and verse number 2 that Jesus just kind of laid out the problem here about what we would call this unjust steward. Now, exactly what was the problem? Well, the Bible says, notice this here, in verse number 1, he had wasted his master's good. He had wasted his goods. The word wasted is to scatter abroad. It is to squander. He didn't do right by his master. He didn't take care of his master's goods, if you please. And this was what? It's a lack of character. God knows we have enough a lack of character in our society today where people don't know what right and wrong is, and they don't even know what it means to work. And this individual here, he wasted, he squandered everything, some of his master's things here. The word wasted here is just not talking about a past offense, something that took place in the past, but it tells us it's in a continuous tense here. This was continually going on. It's not like it's a one-time thing and he quit. He continued to waste his master's good. So this is a problem. Now, we have to ask this question here, and exactly, all right, Brother Rocky, what is a steward? What does it mean when the Bible uses the word steward? And Mr. Vincent gives us this definition. It is one in the household who assigns to the members of that household their several duties, and then he pays them their wages. He is also the one that would hold like what we would call the lock and the key on the goods, and nothing took place without that steward saying, okay, you can do this, you need to do this, I'll pay you this. He had control of everything that was in the owner's house. But notice something else here in verse number one. The Bible says the same was accused. He was accused of something. In other words, somebody noticed his evil. The Bible states in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. And may I say to you this morning that just by way of application here, that this report that was made to the master about his steward's delinquency is just a little type, it's just a little picture, because God already knows all about our faults. He knows about our secret sins. He knows about things that we think about that nobody else knows. He knows everything about us, so we're not going to hide anything from God. But anyway, this man was accused. The word that's translated accused here, it comes from the root word that's translated devil. Who is the devil? He's an accuser. Accuser of the brethren, according to Revelation chapter number 12. And the word implies malice. Even if that which is said is true, there was still some malice that was involved in this. And so this implies that the man that accused this steward, maybe he'd had a falling out with the steward, he got into him about something, I don't know, but it encouraged him to go to the master and say, this old boy is wasting your goods. You need to do something about this. And so he went and he told him, and according to what what the Bible says here in verse number 2. The master said, how is it that I hear this of thee? It's almost like the master was disappointed. I would be disappointed if I put my trust in somebody to take care of my goods and they cheated me. How about you? So the master said, how is this? He felt betrayed. Gave this man trust. And he's been cheated. And he said, look at verse 2. Give an account of thy stewardship. We're going to check the books. The books are going to be balanced. We're going to find out just exactly what you've done. Now, can I say this by way of application, ladies and gentlemen? That every one of us here, we are going to give account of our stewardship one day to Jesus Christ. If you are saved, if you are born again, if you are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, one day you will stand at the bema seat of Jesus Christ and you will give account of your life. You will give account of your stewardship. Not, please listen, not to your dear pastor, but to Jesus Christ. And that is the day that is coming for each and every one of us that are saved. So this man, this unjust steward, he's about to lose his job because he knows he's not been doing right. He's been wasting the master's substance. And so he says, I got to do something. So I want you to notice here in verse number 3 and verse number 4, he began to ponder about his difficulty. He began to think about, what am I going to do? I'm about to lose my job here. I've got to do something. And listen to me, don't miss this. He began to think about the future. The future, when I don't have a job, where am I going to be? What am I going to do? So look at verse number 3. Then the steward said within himself. You know, thinking about our problems and thinking about the future is a lot better than the way many people deal with their problems. You know how a lot of people deal with their problems? They go out and they get drunk. Or they get stoned. Or they try to deny the situation. But this man, even though he was not a good person, he began to think. He said within himself, he began to think about the future. He began to think, what am I going to do when I'm put out? If you're here this morning and you do not know where you would go if you were to die, it'd be a good time to think about your future. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to live forever. One day you're going to die, and they're going to put your body somewhere, but your soul is going to live somewhere forever. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I have some bad news to tell you. The truth, the Word of God is, you'll end up in a place called hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never prepared for mankind, but you'll go there because you rejected Jesus Christ. And many people do not even think about the future. They don't think about life when they die or what's going to happen after they die. But for the child of God, may I say to you that when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This man was thinking in himself. He was thinking about the future. And every once in a while, the people that are saved, well, think about the future. We're going to get to live in heaven forever. It's not always going to be like it is now. Hallelujah, and thank God for that. So he's thinking. And what are you doing with your life? Maybe there's somebody here and you've heard some great missionaries this last week. And you think, man, maybe, just maybe I ought to give my life to missions. Well, let me say, if God is calling you, the best thing you can do is surrender your life and go to the mission field. If God's not calling you, you probably ought to stay in Ponca City and preach the gospel here. Well, I'm not a preacher. Excuse me, if you're saved, you're supposed to be a preacher of the gospel. I don't have time to preach that. I'm just saying to you, we all have a responsibility to get the gospel not only to the regions beyond, but right here at home. So this man began to think within himself. And he said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So look at this. Verse 3. He said, my Lord, taketh away from me the stewardship. Let's give this man credit. He realized he was guilty. And as much he admitted that he had this guilty problem, he admitted that he had this problem. You will never solve your problem until, first of all, you come to terms with what you've done and you admit, I've got a problem, I'm about to lose my job. He didn't deny the problem. He didn't put his head in the sand, say, I'm going to forget about this problem. He said, I've got to do something about this and I'm about to lose my job. And may I say this also, you'll not get saved until you realize you've got a sin problem. As long as you think you can handle it, as long as you think, well, I'm just better, I may not be as good as the pastor, I may not be religious like some of those people at Central Baptist Church, but let me tell you something, until you realize that you're a hell-bound, deserving sinner, you'll never get saved. And no reason to get saved. People don't get saved till they get lost. This man realized, I'm about to lose my job. Let's give him credit there. He admitted, I'm done wrong and I'm going to lose my job. And then notice this in verse number 3. I kind of laugh at this when I read this. He said, can't dig. Now, when I read that, let me tell you what he's saying. I won't dig. I won't do it. Why is it? It tells us he wasn't a man of character. He was kind of lazy. How do you know that? Because he's wasting his master's goods. He wasn't even doing what he was supposed to be doing. So he says, I cannot dig. And he said, I'll tell you something else. I'm ashamed to go out here and beg. Now, I don't know about Ponca City, but I can tell you about Tulsa. Ain't not too many people ashamed to beg. Because I see the same people about every day at the same corner. I'm hungry, feed me, help me, all this kind of stuff. And okay, but they're there every day. Come on, help me out now. But you know, when I read this, I think about, here's a man says, I'm ashamed to beg, but he's not ashamed to take from his master that which belongs to him. Come on, help me out here. Here's a man says, I'm ashamed to go out here and to beg and say, I need some help, but I'm not ashamed to take advantage of my master's goods and squander them and waste them. Kind of hypocritical here in what he was doing. So he came up with this scheme in verse number 4. Look at this. And I got to explain a little bit here. Said, I know what I'm going to do. Thought this thing through. Figured this thing out. Yep. Tell you what I'll do. When I'm put out of my stewardship, when I don't have this job anymore, I want people to receive me into their houses. I want people to be able to take care of me. Now, can I tell you? Please listen, and please listen very closely. This was a pretty clever scheme. It really was. He would befriend his master's debtors, so that when this firing took place, when he lost his job, his stewardship, they'd be obligated to help him and befriend him and open up their homes and their pocketbooks to help him in his time of need. That's pretty clever. Now, excuse me, as crooked as the devil, come on, this is wicked, it's ungodly, it's not right, but it is pretty clever. I didn't say it was right, I'm just telling you, it's pretty creative here. But I want you to notice this. I want you to notice what's not evil. Look at this word here in verse number 4. Receive. I want to be received. That's not wicked. What do you mean by that? Well, making plans to be received favorably is what I believe the exhortation of Jesus Christ in this parable is about. He wants to be favorably received. Now, we're not talking about how he got there. That's not what he's commending. What he's commending here is he's commending that this man wants to be received when he's put out of his job, he's put out of his stewardship. He wants people to receive him. And what Jesus commended here in this particular passage was the fact that this steward saw judgment's coming. I'm going to lose my job. And I'll tell you what, because judgment's coming, I'm going to make some arrangements so I can escape the effects of this judgment that's about to come. In this case, I'm going to lose my job. I don't want to be in poverty. I need some friends to help take care of me. I'm going to have this inability to provide for myself. I'm thinking about the future and what judgment may bring. You know, there's some people that never even think about the judgments that's to come when they leave this life. Bible says, the book of Amos chapter 4 in verse 12, that prepare to meet thy God. Hebrews 9 verse 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us have a judgment that's coming. And I tell you, I have enough to answer for as being a pastor and my own life as a Christian. I got enough to answer for, but I tell you something, I don't want to be in heaven and have things in my life that could have been avoided. Things that I could have avoided. This is free. This is not even in my notes. This is good for all of us. But that's why it's so important you listen to your pastor, whoever's preaching, but primarily your pastor when he's preaching the Word of God, because he's trying to help you and he's trying to perfect you, mature you to be what Christ wants you to be. And when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to answer for how you've listened to that. That's good. It's Bible. So I'm just saying to you, this man, this unjust steward, he was thinking about the future. And it is wise to prepare right now before you die. Because after you die, it's too late. Can't get saved after you die. Yeah, I say, I'm one of those people, I believe in purgatory. Well, you know what? I'd believe in it too if it's in the Bible, but it's not in the Bible. There is no intermediate state. There is no purgatory. There is heaven for the saved. There is hell for the lost and no in-between ground. And you have to make preparation before you die. This man is making preparation about the future before the judgment comes. That's a good thing for us all to do. We need to be prepared to stand before the Lord. So let me show you what he came up with here. The Bible goes into it in great detail in verses 5 down through verse number 7. This man came up with his policy of what to do. Now, again, I can't stress enough, but I'm going to try to stress it one more time. This is corrupt in what he's doing here. This is wicked and this is dishonest. The method that the unjust steward used is not legitimate. It's wrong. It's stealing. Okay? That's why he lost his job in the first place, because he wasn't doing right. And so here's what he did in verse number 5. He called all of his Lord's debtors, called them in. And the Bible gives us two examples. Probably there could have been more in this particular example that Jesus gave, but he called them in and he said, "How much do you owe?" Now, would you notice this? One in verse number 6 says, "I owe 100 measures of oil." So tell you what to do. You take this bill here and you cross that out and you write 50 and you pay it and we'll call her good. Now, let me ask you a question. Who wouldn't like to have a $1,000 note at the bank and the banker call you in and say, "Tell you what, Pastor, just write off 1,000, write down 500. We'll call her good." Oh, we got pious people this morning. I would like the bank to do that for me. I don't want anybody to get fired or be crooked about it. But I'm going to tell you, that sounded like a pretty good deal to the people that are coming in. And so he says, "You have 100 measures of oil. Tell you what, cross it out, write down 50. We'll call her good. And you can pay that." Look at verse number 7. He said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said, "I have 100 measures of wheat." He said, "You take that bill and you write 80. That's 80. Now, a couple things I want you to notice about this. Did you notice that they weren't equal? How many noticed that? How many noticed that one was 50 and one was 80? Did you notice that? Somebody said, "Well, why did he do that?" Well, why do you think he did it? He knew who could help him the most. And the one that could help him the most is the one he's going to help the most. Did you notice something else here? Did you notice that nobody protested? Did you notice nobody said, "Well, we can't do this. This is not right. This is not right." I was reading a book. I'm getting ready to preach the book of Daniel. And I read a true story. I got to tell you this real quick about this guy who was working for a construction company. And the guy told him, he said, "I'll tell you what, if you go up here and work on my cabin, we'll just call it good and you can work on the time clock and I'll pay you. And the company will pay you and you can work on the side for me." And the guy said yes. And he was going to seminary, going to be a pastor. He called his dad and his dad said, "That's not right. You're stealing from the company." So he went back and told the boss, "Can't do that." The boss said, "Okay." We need some people to live right that are called Christians. I'll just throw that out to you. That's free. It doesn't cost anybody anything this morning. That's free stuff. So I'm just showing you, here's this man. It's corrupted. I want you to notice that nobody protested. Nobody said, "No, we can't do this." Everybody went along. And isn't it something you can always find plenty of people to go along and get involved in the evil schemes of life. But when you're trying to do something right and you're trying to serve God, they're scarce as hen's teeth, so to speak. Just can't hardly find people that want to do right and stay with you and do what's right. So the steward here, he got all the debtors together. He got them all saying, "We're going to fix this thing out here. And whoever helps me the most, the one I'm going to help the most," it's just as crooked as it can be. But listen, he wants to be received. So I want you to notice this. Look at this. Verse number 8. "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely." Now stop right there. We got to explain a couple of things. The conduct of the steward in his dealing with the Lord's debtors, I want to state one more time for the record, is judged as evil. It's wicked. It's ungodly. So this means that the Lord commending the unjust steward here in verse number 8, the praise here in no wise justifies the unjust part of the steward's plan, which is dishonesty, other unrighteous deeds. He's not commending that. That's not even what the story's about. Notice the word wisely. You're welcome to check this out, and please do so. This is the only time this particular word is used in our King James Bible, this particular Greek word. And it speaks of being shrewd. Shrewd. See, understand this. It's not character that is being praised here or commended here. That's not what he's talking about. It's not his dishonesty. It's his resourcefulness. It's not his fraud. He's defrauding his master. It has to do with his forethought of thinking of the future. Is everybody with me? He's thinking about the future. That's what's being commended. Now, this is also key. Look at verse 8. We have the children of this world, and we have the children of light. Right? Very simple. He talks about two groups of people here. We have the people that are of the world, people that are lost, people that are unbelievers, and we have the children of light. Who would that be? That would be saved. So we have a comparison here between the unsaved and between the saved. But notice this key phrase, in their generation. In their generation, yeah. Jesus is comparing them to how each act in their own sphere of profession, among their own people, and their own interest. Now, I think it's obvious, at least I hope it's obvious to most of the people in this room this morning, that the world does not do better than Christians regarding what they've done with Jesus Christ and the gospel. They've not done that. I don't think I'll get an objection from anybody on that. But the world often does much better in how they go about their worldly concerns than Christians do in how they go about their spiritual concerns. Okay, I want to say that again, just for emphasis. The world often does much better in how they go about their worldly concerns than Christians do in how they go about their spiritual concerns. That's very key here to what I'm going to preach. We're getting railed down here to close, but you need to understand this. The praise of this unjust steward here spoke of the wisdom of foresight. The steward saw that he had a great need for the future when he was fired. So he said, I have to prepare quickly to meet the future because I'm not going to have a job before too long. And he went about his business, I'm talking about his earthly business here. He went about it very earnestly. He went about it very quickly in a great hurry, we could say. And these matters in which the steward here could be praised are matters in which the world often outshines the people of God. Now I want to read you, and please listen to me. This is, I wish I could say things like this, but I read this from Alexander McLaren, an old time Bible scholar, and I love this. Quote, men will spend endless time and pains and devote concentration, persistence, self-denial, diligence to learning how to play some instrument, how to swing upon a trapeze, how to twist themselves into abnormal contortions. Jugglers and fiddlers and circus riders and dancers and people of that sort spend far more time upon efforts to perfect themselves in their profession than 99 out of every 100 professing Christians do to make themselves true followers of Jesus Christ. Now that's what this parable is about. That's what he's talking about. And then he says this, from the ranks of criminals or amusers and of the purely worldly men of business that we come in contact with every day, we may get lessons that ought to bring a blush to all our cheeks when we think to ourselves how a wealth of intellectual and moral qualities and virtues such as we do not bring to bear on our Christian lives are by these men employed in regard of their infinitely smaller pursuits, who choose the world as their proportion, but us put us to shame in their self-denial, their earnestness, their absorption, their clear insights into facts, their swiftness in availing themselves of every opportunity, their persistence, and their perseverance, end of quote. Somebody said, what was he saying? He was saying that many times, people that aren't even Christians, people that don't even know Jesus Christ, they have much more passion, much more discipline in the pursuits of this world than people that are saved have in their relationship to God. That's what he's talking about. It's a rebuke to Christians for their lackluster performance in spiritual matters. And too often the world shows a lot more forethought, I'll get the word out here. They show much more zeal. They show much more dedication in earthly matters than Christians do in spiritual matters. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me here. Very quickly, I want to say this. But you know what? There's nobody that likes to have more fun than I like to have fun. But you know, there's something wrong in Christianity when we can get a lot more excited about Now, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody gets more excited to watch a football game than me. And that's why I can't do it. Because I get shouting at the TV so much, I can't preach on Sunday night, so I turn it off. But let me tell you something. Please don't misunderstand me. I ought to have zeal for the things of God, too. I ought to have zeal for the things of God. I ought to have dedication for the things of God. I think about people who are coming into football season. Pastor says I'm going to get to do something called fantasy football that I've never done in my life. I'm looking forward to that. But you know, there are people out here, I'm talking about the real football world. Who's your favorite team here, Pastor? Sorry, okay. San Diego. I mean, do you understand the San Diego Chargers? I believe that's who they are. Do you understand that they get out there on that football field and they practice and they do everything they have to and they have passion for what they're doing and they literally, I guess I would say, they're putting their life on the lines for football. Because some of them do get hurt. And there's some Christians that won't even lift a hand to hand out a track to invite somebody to the house of God. That's what we're trying to talk about this morning. How does this relate to money? I've not got there yet. Hang on, I'm coming. Coming in down the runway. So I want you to notice this here. Look at verse number 9. And I say unto you, all right, stop right here. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, all right? Jesus says, I want to give you a command here. Here's the command. I want you to make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. In other words, God's people are to use money in a way that money would make them friends. Well, excuse me, he's not saying go out here and start waving $100 bills around to get people to come to your church. I guarantee if you want to pack the pews Sunday, start handing out $100 bills and you'll have people out here. You won't have enough room in this building to put people. That's not what he's talking about. What's he talking about? He's talking about investing in the lives of missionaries. Now you had Brother Williams this week and Brother Williams and Brother Quinlan. That's the three I saw on the website. You support all three of them? And you're putting money into their ministry. You're supporting them. Somebody said, well, it may not be a lot. Well, excuse me. I'm going to preach about that tonight. Because if everybody gives their part, it'll be more than sufficient. I'll guarantee you that. But you're putting money into Brother Michael Neuberger. I know Brother Michael Neuberger. He was a student of mine at Heartland. Then I went to school with him in grad school. He's a fine young man. I believe he's going up there to New York City, the Brooklyn area. I'm going to tell you, everybody, please listen. The people that get saved, that's going to be to your account. And one of these days we're going to get to heaven and we're going to meet some of the people that Brother Neuberger led to the Lord that you got to be a part in supporting that you've never met because you gave to Faith Promise Missions. And you made friends with that thing called filthy lucre. Or as Jesus called it here, the mammon of unrighteousness. Now the question I want to ask this question here very quickly, are you going to be involved in missions this year? And I would say, just guessing, I would guess probably that the majority of the people that are members of the Central Baptist Church, you're going to be involved in Faith Promise Giving this year. But I can tell you what happened at Tulsa Baptist Temple, a church quote unquote known for missions. When I preached this particular message, I've only done it once at our church, I went to our accountant and I said, I don't want any names, but I want a figure, I want a percentage. And I want to know, I took 1 month out of the year, Pastor, I took 1 month out of the year, in fact, it was the month of December, and I said, I want to know how many people gave, regardless of amount, I want to know how many gave, and then I want you to tell me how many gave to missions. Would you believe that 25% of the people that gave did not give one penny to foreign missions in the month of December, and this has been 4, 5, 6 years ago? You believe that? Not involved in missions. I don't understand that for the life of me. But I'll tell you what happened that particular day. He's passed away. He's gone to heaven. His name was Brother Mike. Brother Mike was a new member of our church. And when I preached that message that morning, he came down the aisle and he said, "Pastor, I need to say something to this church." I don't know about you, but I know about me. I get real nervous when people do that because I can't control what's about to come out of their mouth. But I felt led of the Lord to go ahead and let him do it. And he said, and you'd have to know this guy, he was a multimillionaire at one time. This particular man, that's a whole other story. But anyway, he took that microphone. He said, "I hate to say this." And I mean, he had tears running down his eyes. He said, "I was in that 25%. But by God's grace, I never will be again here." Now, we had revival that morning. You know why? Because a man said, "I want to be involved in this. I want to make some friends in the future." And you know what? I would say there are people here, you've been involved in this church for many, many years, and you've been involved in Faith Promise. Can you imagine the people that you're going to meet when you get to heaven that you've never met face to face on this side of the planet? You're going to meet them in heaven. They're going to be there because you helped support a missionary. And they preached the gospel and somebody got saved. That's why it's so exciting to be involved in Faith Promise Missions. Why? I'm making some friends for the future. Why? Look at this. He said, "When you fail," I believe that refers to one's death. One of these days, Rocky Harrell's going to die. They're going to bury me. So I sure like the Lord to come back. How about you? I just seen the rapture take place. But if the Lord tarries his coming, one day I'm going to die. And when I get to heaven, I'd sure like to see some people that I've invested in, that I've never met, but I've put money, this mammon of unrighteousness, I've thought about the future, I've invested in missions, and I'm going to meet people that are saved because of that. Now notice this here, and I'm done. That they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Everlasting habitations, what do you think that is? I think that refers to heaven. It's where we're going to be forever. And it's a parallel to the houses the steward was seeking for his habitation after his firing. He needed a habitation after he left this job. He needed some arrangements where he could move in with some people and they could take care of him. Now, I probably need to say this, although I feel like I don't, but I don't want anybody to misunderstand. We're not buying our way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. So don't get that out of this passage here. We're not going to give enough money so I can get past St. Peter and get to heaven. You're going to heaven because you put faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Or you won't go. Plain and simple. But Jesus did say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And a wise way, not the only way, but this is what we're preaching about this morning. A wise way to lay up treasures in heaven is to be involved in Faith Promise Missions. You said you support 120 missionaries at Central Baptist? Man, that's a lot of missionaries all around the world. It'd be interesting, I don't know if there's any way we can figure it out, Brother John, to figure out all the people been saved and all the missionaries that we've had a part in supporting over the last how many ever years. But they're going to be there in heaven. And I'm trying to think of the song I didn't write down, but "Thank You for Giving to the Lord," Ray Bolt's song. All the people he meets, they're going to be people in heaven that you're going to meet because you invested in Faith Promise Missions and you made some friends that you didn't even know you had. And that's so very exciting. But wouldn't it be sad to get to heaven? Where's all the friends? He didn't send anything. You weren't involved. Now I'm thankful I get to go to heaven by grace through faith, plus or minus nothing. But I'd sure hate to get to heaven and look around and see nobody there that I've helped invest in their life. So I'm going to challenge you. Number one, if you're not involved, maybe very few. If you're not involved, get involved and make some friends for the future. And number two, if you are involved, maybe God would encourage you to maybe increase it by maybe a dollar or more. I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God, but I'll tell you, he has a heart for people to be saved. That's why Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so we might go to heaven. Are you making any friends for the future. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. I appreciate your attention to the Word of God this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. And I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. I can't help but ask this question this morning. Do you ever think about your future state when you will pass from this scene and go to your eternal destination? You know, you don't go to heaven because you're a Baptist. And I'm a Baptist. I make no apologies for that. But you're not going to go to heaven because you're a Baptist. You're not going to go to heaven because you've been baptized. You're not going to go to heaven because you live a good life and you've done a lot of good works. You go to heaven on grace alone through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe there's someone here this morning, you're thinking, man, what do I have to do to go to heaven? I'll tell you what you need to do. Repent and receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Death and judgment are inevitable. Everyone in this room, if Jesus tarries his coming, everyone will eventually die. It's going to happen. But the question is, are you ready to go to heaven because you put faith and trust in Jesus Christ? I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't come back to you. I don't know your name, but I would like to pray for you this morning. You say, Pastor, Brother Rocky, I know in my heart this morning the Spirit of God has spoken. The Spirit of God is convicting me. I don't know. I don't have any assurance where I'm going to go when I die. Would you please pray for me this morning? Would you just lift your hand up and hold it there for just a moment? Is there anyone in this room this morning would say, Pastor, Brother Rocky, please pray for me. I'm just not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm looking. Is there anyone at all? I'm just not sure I go to heaven. You need to think about the future, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone at all? Well, let me talk to the people of God for just a moment. I'm not accusing because I don't know you, but I'm asking. Have you wasted your Lord's goods? Are you wasting your life, your talents, your time on things that are of no value? You're going to give account of your stewardship to the Lord. How's your zeal and dedication in spiritual matters? Isn't it amazing how the world outshines the people of God in worldly pursuits? And we that have the truth and know the Word of God just kind of go about, you know, whatever. But the question of the hour is this. Are you using your money to win souls by giving to faith, promise, missions? Are you making any friends? And God bless you, sir, ma'am, for your faithfulness in giving, probably for many years, what it will be that day when we get to heaven. But if you're here and you're not involved in any way whatsoever, I want to challenge you and I want to exhort you, be involved and make some friends for the future. So that when you get to heaven, by the grace of God, there will be people that you will meet who have been saved because a missionary went. Thank God for all the missionaries, but they couldn't do what they do unless somebody sent them and prayed for them. So what is it in your life this morning as a child of God? You say, Brother Rocky, I'm here this morning. The Spirit of God spoke into my heart. I know I'm saved, but God spoke into my heart. And I just want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand up just around the room this morning? Anyone at all this morning? Pray for me, Brother Rocky. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right, let's stand together this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that is quick and powerful to speak to our hearts. Now, God, I pray in this invitation time that you would accomplish your purpose in the lives of your people. For these hands that were raised, Lord, you've spoken to hearts, and maybe others you've spoken didn't acknowledge it. God, I just pray that you would work in our hearts in this invitation time. And then, Lord, I would ask if there's someone here in this service today that is not saved, they are lost, they're headed to a devil's hell. I pray for the Spirit's conviction today they might come to know Christ as their Savior. Would you work and would you move in this invitation time, I pray, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother's going to sing. I'm going to turn over to the pastor. If you need to come this morning, you do what the Spirit of God would have you do on the very first verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I bring.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, we wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.